Hello and welcome to our service today. God bless you, and it sure is good to be with you. Sorry we haven't been able to see each other in the last couple of weeks with the snowstorms that we've had, and here we are again today. Instead of having candy and hearts, we're having ice and snow. But praise the Lord for what He gives us in His timing. I'm reminded, and I keep reminding you, and hope you learn this lesson, that whenever something is out of our hands, it is never out of God's hands. And He is in control of all things, and we thank Him for everything that He gives us. I'd like to look today, since it is Valentine's Day, at what God has to say about love. In doing so, I'm sure you've heard this story before. As a daughter brought her date home to meet her parents, the mother was terrified by the young man's appearance. His tattoos, his long hair, beard, earring, heavy boots, and overall rough appearance. In concern, she pulled her daughter aside and asked, "Honey, is he nice?" The girl was taken back by such a question from a mother, and she said, "Well, of course he's nice. If he wasn't nice, why would he be doing 5,000 hours of community service?" Well, love is blind. And that's not always a good thing. But we want to see, as we look at Valentine's Day here, we want to see some of the things that God speaks to us about in this time in which we have a lot of thoughts about love and fondness for one another. And some people call it a Hallmark holiday, in the sense that cards and gifts and candy and other expressions of fondness are given exchanges. But while many people may have some advice about what love is and how we should be fond for one another, that's not always good advice. But God has the perfect advice. And I want us to look at that today, at what the Bible says. Matter of fact, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, we'll be there some of the time. We're going to start in 1 John 4, verse 8 and verse 16. Now, I won't read them, but you'll find there twice it is mentioned that God is love. And that very fact tells us a little bit about what to expect from God Himself. I want us to look at what it means that God is love and what it means to us that we are to learn about our loving Him and our loving other people. Father, I pray that You would help me right now to be able to share this truth. And Lord, as I do so, may it be beneficial for each one of us that we would receive it as the instruction that comes from Your Word, Your message for us today. I pray that You'd give me a freedom to do so. And Lord, through it all, may You be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are doing one of my favorite things. I'm being sarcastic here, and that's preaching to my phone. And it's always a difficult thing for me to do, but one I'm willing to do, and to benefit those that will be watching today. And wherever you are and whatever you're doing and watching, I hope that you'll take some time here and concentrate upon what God is saying through His Word to us. The first thing I want us to do is look at God's love for us. God is love, the scripture says, and that is so true. He's the essence of what love is, and He is the great example of what love is to us and what our love should be to others. It is stated, let's first of all look at God's love for us as believers. It's stated here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. In verse 1 it says, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Stop right there. What manner of love God has bestowed upon us? Wow. That we could be called His children. We, when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we were born again into the family of God. We were adopted by God. And we are in His family as His children. And what a great manifestation of love that has been to us. And we praise the Lord for that and for that truth. Not only is that true, but over in Romans chapter 8, it asks a question and then answers it. It says, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who or what is the question? What is it that can separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing and no one, including the devil himself, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a tremendous truth we have for God's love for us as believers. Closely related to that is God's love for the lost. We all have probably one of our favorite verses of Scripture that we learned from a child, and that was John 3:16. For God so loved whom? The world. All of the lost people in the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His love gave. It sacrificed. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not die and have to go to hell, but would have everlasting life with him in heaven. We praise the Lord for that truth. But that truth is also reiterated here in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, we read, in this was manifested or revealed the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The same exact truth as we have in John 3:16. One closely related to it is in 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We can see and recognize the love of God that is demonstrated by him laying down his life for us. Jesus said something similar to that in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and for me. And we praise the Lord for all of us in this world. God sent forth his Son to do that very thing. And we praise the Lord for the great demonstration of that love. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it speaks of it. It says that God commendeth his love. The word commendeth means to demonstrate. God commendeth, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God's love is demonstrated by what he has given. Let's rehearse it a little bit there. We need to think about the fact that God, the Father, gave his Son. Well, we read about it. We remember that Jesus Christ, God the Son, gave himself when he died there on Calvary for us. And according to 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, God has given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. Pertaining to everything that we need to pertain to our living here on this earth and living in a godly way here before others. We praise the Lord for what God has provided. There's no questioning. There's no denying God's love for us. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you just stopped and thanked God for his love for you? I mean, we know that he loves us. And we would always agree how important that is and what a great truth that is. But sometimes I think we take his love for granted. We don't really express our love and our appreciation for what God has done in loving us. And I encourage you to do that, to thank God for loving you. But that's God's love that we look at. I want us to look next at what Scripture and what God says about our love for others. When we think about our love, one of the passages of Scripture that comes to my mind is what we call the love chapter in the New Testament, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read in the first 8 verses, the first 3 verses gives us the importance of love, and then the next verses 4 through 8 give us a description of love. And I'd like to read them here, and I'm going to put some other words in as I explain as we go through. So follow with me, please. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, the word charity is the word love. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm just making some noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. What a tremendous testimony that would be to have all of those things. But God says, without love, you're nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, as a martyr he's talking about, and have not love, it profited me nothing. I think about what Jesus says, or what Paul wrote about with our works that we do, whether it be good for reward or good for nothing. I can give everything that I have unto the poor, and I can even give my body to be burned at the stake and be a martyr for Jesus Christ. But if I have not love, it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's not worth anything. It does not profit me anything. And so God emphasizes to us the importance of love. And then he describes it beginning in verse 4. And what I've done is taken these words and I've paraphrased them myself. And I want you to follow through in the Bible as I read this through and see what it says here about love. Hear my words and follow through with what God says and see if that's not what he's talking about. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envious or jealous. Love does not boast. It is not arrogant. It is not rude or self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears up under all things, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Praise the Lord for love. It is a tremendous attribute, and it's a characteristic that we should have as believers. And that love is something that should be demonstrated in our lives. But we see the description of what that love is. It is nothing selfish about it. In this world in which we live, one of the great characteristics of these end times is that men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we are people that are selfish. We're people that are caught up about our own things, our own interests, our own time, our own thoughts, our own opinions, And boy, those things have a tendency to separate us, not to draw us together. And yet God says that we are to be people of love. We are to be people that have a genuine concern and feeling for those in which we have to do. And so we see our love as it emphasized here in the importance and also in the description. That's the kind of love that God wants us to have. Our love for God, then, can come out of this, and we see it commanded to us first in a question that was asked of Jesus Christ. They asked Jesus, what is the great commandment? And Jesus answered in Matthew 22, verse 36 through 38. I'll flip over there and we'll read this. Matthew 22, verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, Jesus made that very clear and stated it very simply. And we praise the Lord for his answer. We are to love God with everything that is within us. Every ability that we have, we are to express itself in our love for the Lord. The love that is used, the word that is used so often with love for God is the word agape, and it is a sacrificial type love. The type of love that God has for us is agape love. And we've already seen that God gave sacrificially of his own son, Jesus of his own self. It is a sacrificial love that we are to give. Excuse me. I don't think that helped. One moment. That definitely didn't help. Let me see if I can get my voice back. It is the love that God has for us, the sacrificial love that is mentioned here. It's not motivated by, it's not based upon any superficial appearance. For instance, a person that says, I love so-and-so because he is handsome or she is beautiful, those things can change. It's obvious that the age brings wrinkles, and even age brings a difference to our physiques. There's accidents that can bring in scars and changes in our appearance. Those things are on the outside, and those things can change very drastically. If we based our love, our opinion of another, based on those superficial appearances, then we can be devastated when they change, especially when they change suddenly. Not only that, there's emotional attractions. Our love should not be based upon that. Those feelings of emotions can change and are certainly fickle at best, and we must understand that those things are no solid ground in which to base our feelings of love for another person. Our choice to love them should be based upon our decision to want to treat them the way that God treats us. And that special relationship should be no difference. So it's commanded our love for the Lord that we love him in a sacrificial type of way. Even to the point that Paul warns us that if we do not love the Lord, it is a serious thing. In 1 Corinthians 16:22, in Paul's farewell salutation, he says, If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Anathema means accursed. Maranatha means our Lord comes. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. You see, it's important for us to have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that love is commanded to us. It is also deserved. We're told in 1 John 4, and back there in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Our loving God, he deserves it. Because he first stepped out and loved us and proved it. And so our love not only is commanded and deserved, but it should be demonstrated. So how do we demonstrate our love to God? Well, number one, I think we say it. As I mentioned earlier, to thank God for his love for us. And we ought to express our love for him as we pray. Speak to the Lord and tell him how much you love him. Tell him those feelings that you have for him and appreciation for what he has done for you. Not only that, but we should sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. What a tremendous song, but it should come from our heart and meaning those words as we sing it unto the Lord. Not only should we demonstrate our love by saying it and by singing it, but by showing it. Our love should be more than just the words. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know that our obedience to God's commands is a demonstration that we truly love him. And even here in 1 John chapter 5, we're told in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Same thing. And he says, his commandments are not grievous. The word grievous there means burdensome. In other words, our keeping God's commands are not something that we feel like, oh, I guess I've got to do it. But it's something that we can do, we get to do, not that we have to do. It is something we want to do. It's not grievous. It's not burdensome to us to do it. That's a show, a demonstration of love. But also understand that love, our love for God, can be affected. It can be affected in a negative way and in a positive way. In a negative way, our love for God can be affected by sin that increases in our life. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound, because sin increases in our life, our love for the Lord decreases. And so it's important for us to understand how that works, and that Jesus is saying, when we let sin creep into our life, we need to understand that it affects our love for the Lord. Not only that, but the love for the world. Here in 1 John 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, certainly it's not talking about the love of the Father being God's love for us. We already know that that's true. But what he is saying is, as we allow our love for the world to increase, our love for God decreases. And some people would argue and say, well, Pastor, I don't think that's true. Are you calling God a liar? That's what God says in his word. We need to understand the importance of recognizing how our feelings for the things in this world affect our feelings for God. We can be and have our love diminished by our love for and attraction to the things of this world. So it's important to recognize that love can be affected for God in a negative way by sin and the love of this world. But it can be affected in a positive way by recognition of what God has forgiven in our lives. In Luke chapter 7, it's recorded that Jesus sat down to eat a meal with a man named Simon. It was not Peter. But this man, Simon, had invited Jesus to eat. And Jesus came in to eat, and there was a woman that came in and began to cry and to wash Jesus' feet with her tears and dry his feet with her hair. And she would then take and kiss his feet and anoint his feet with an ointment. And Simon began to think within himself, and he thought, well, if this man, Jesus, was really a prophet, then he would know what kind of woman this is, a sinner, and would not permit her to do that. Well, Jesus, not only just a prophet, but the prophet, Jesus, as God the Son, not only knew what this woman was like, but knew what Simon was thinking. And so he asked Simon a question by giving him this illustration. And he said, Simon, there was a master that had two debtors, two men that owed him a great price. One owed him 500 days' wages, 500 pence. The other one owed him 50 day's wages. Neither one of them could pay the money that they owed. But frankly, their master forgave them completely of all that they owed. And so the question was this to Simon: which one of the two do you suppose loved his master the most? Simon thought and said, well, I suppose the one to whom he forgave the most. Well, Jesus said, you've answered correctly. And he looked down at the woman that was kissing his feet and anointing his feet. And he said to Simon, Simon, when I came into your home, you did not provide any water to wash my feet. You did not greet me with a kiss. You did not bring any oil to anoint my head. But this woman, since the time that I came in, has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and to dry with her hair and to kiss my feet and to anoint my feet with ointment. And he went on to say, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And he acknowledged that it was because of her faith she had been saved. And the point was this: the more we recognize what God has forgiven us, the more we're going to be encouraged to love the Lord. It will increase our love for him. So we need sometimes to pause and just to think about what God has done in forgiving us. Because no matter what type of a person we are, all of us are sinners. All of us have the need for God's forgiveness completely. None of us are worthy of his heaven. And so when we realize and recognize what God has forgiven us of, how much that should spur our love to him. We praise the Lord that he has forgiven us. That is our love for God. God also directs our love for others. Jesus said in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. He had said back in chapter 13, verse 35 of John, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I mean, frankly, believers today are not known so much, especially in this last year, not known so much for their love for other believers even. There are some believers that will not talk to other believers that are in their own church. And they say, well, they wear a mask. Well, I don't wear a mask. They don't stand up politically the way that I think that they should, or they stand up and say too much, and then others, they're for vaccine, and I'm not for any vaccine, and just one thing after another. Well, what is it that you are known for? Is it a mask? Is it a political view? Is there something that in this world that you want to be known for other than being a child of God? Jesus said, I want you to have love for one another. I want people to recognize that you are one of my disciples because you have love one for another. We ought to have that love for each other. And that's the love that is commanded to us, as Jesus commanded it there in Matthew 22, where he had said, the greatest commandment is we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, everything within us. We are to love God. He said, the second commandment is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Loving our neighbor as ourself is a tremendous responsibility. We're told over in I believe it is Romans chapter 13, in verse 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Why? For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We have a responsibility to love one another. And it is so important because God says if we will take care of that, it will take care of so many other things in our life. And so loving God and loving one another, it is the fulfillment of the commandment that we are commanded to love one another. It is our love for others are to be demonstrated. How do we demonstrate our love for one another? Well, first of all, I believe we demonstrate it with our words. We tell people that we love them. We should. We ought to express it. Let me ask you something, husband, wife. When's the last time you expressed to your spouse, I love you? Well, she knows. Well, I believe she probably does. But that does not relinquish the need that we have to express our love for them. Back years ago, early in the ministry, I was told this by one of the wives in the church that I think I had preached a message as a youth pastor to the entire church, and it was about expressing love for our spouse. And she says, my husband never tells me that he loves me. I talked to him about it one time, and he says, I told you I loved you on our wedding day. If it ever changes, I'll let you know. And while that may be cute, that's certainly not a good practice. We ought to be expressing our love for one another. We ought to be telling our spouse that we love them. When's the last time you sat down with your child and just looked them in the eye and said, honey, do you know how much I love you? How important you are to me? We ought to express our love to our children. Children, we ought to express our love to our parents, because coming a time which we won't have that opportunity. So it's important for us to express that love and appreciation for all that they are to us. We are to demonstrate it with our words. We're to demonstrate it with our actions. After Jesus had said that we are to love our neighbor as ourself, you know, one of the takeoffs of that in question, well, who's my neighbor, you know? Who am I going to love? Who am I going to show? And we need to understand that Jesus was saying everybody, because he then told about the Good Samaritan and how that this man came down and was attacked by thieves and stripped and robbed and beaten and left for dead in the ditch. And the Good Samaritan came by and got him and clothed him and bandaged up his wounds and put him in an inn and a hotel and took care of him. And he had to leave. And he told the innkeeper, he says, whatever this man needs, if I haven't given you enough, when I come back through, I'll take care of it. In other words, he was a neighbor to this man he didn't even know, but had a need. This man had the means to meet that need, and he met someone with a need, and he demonstrated a love to them by meeting their needs. Notice what God says to us about that here in 1 John 3 and verse 17. But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word and in tongue, that is only, but in deed and in truth, in sincerity, in our deeds, in the things that we do. We ought to demonstrate our love for others first by saying so, but then by showing so in our actions, meeting the needs as the Lord has given us opportunity to do so. As I mentioned, some of the examples of that would be expressing your love and showing your love for your spouse, for your children, for your family, your parents, for your friends, for your co-workers. Even the Bible says we're to love our enemies. And so there's a great deal of love that we ought to be expressing and demonstrating in our day-to-day lives. We are to be people of love, saying it and showing it. God's love for us and our love for others is so important, not just to understand, but to illustrate and to show in the lives in which we live. Now I'm going to ask that wherever you are watching this particular video, that if right now you could just take your time in silence, close your eyes and just think about yourself. And think about where you stand with these things. When's the last time that you thanked the Lord for His love for you? When's the last time that you expressed your love and appreciation for Him in prayer? Do we need to do that right now? All of us should recognize the need that we have of loving God, even in loving others. Some of us might not recognize ways that we should have been demonstrating that love, as we have talked about, showing and demonstrating our love to God by keeping His commandments, and showing and demonstrating our love for others by saying to them that we love them and by demonstrating that in action. Many may feel that they need to reaffirm their love for God. Maybe right now, you should take some time and say, Lord, I just want you to know that I am recommitted to showing my love to you and to showing my love to other believers, to other people, as a demonstration that I am one of your children indeed. All of us need to encourage each other in love. We're told by the author of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We are to consider, we're to think about one another, to try to encourage one another to love and to do good works. What a wonderful thing. As we come together as a church, as we come together with our families, may we encourage one another in these things of love and good works. I want to just take a moment and express my love for you as a church family and all of the ways in which you have demonstrated your love for me, myself and my family, my wife, my children over the years. The many things that you have done and said to us has been a tremendous encouragement, and I want you to know how much that has meant to me personally. Thank you so much, and I love you. I pray that this message today has been not only a blessing to your heart, but a challenge also to remind us of how much God wants our love demonstrated to Him and our love to be demonstrated for one another. Father, I pray that as we close the message here, that you will continue to speak to our hearts and let your word ring in our ears. Help us to be a demonstration of that great love, even on this day of Valentine's Day. May we express our love for you in such a wonderful way. It would spill over in the lives of others, and they would understand our genuine love for them as well. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening today. God bless you.